What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Whiskey, Web, and Whatnot, your favorite podcast about French cuisine with your hosts, Robbie the Wagner and Charles William Carpenter III.
I've been demoted because of my taste in whiskey. This episode is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Two shots of mixed with nothing. I don't know.
Yes, we love it.
Yeah.
Yes. And our guest today is our favorite person, Sean Day.
You're redeeming yourself.
Yeah. For those who have maybe not heard of you, could you please give a few sentences about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. My name is Sean Day Person. I am a senior software engineer at Netflix. I'm also a conference speaker and had the pleasure of keynoting that conference yesterday, talking about leveraging transferable skills. And I am a parent. I'm a mom to a very tall 6-year-old.
Nice. Whose pants may or may not be confused with your own.
Yeah, there's a whole story. Yeah.
I was going to get to that later, but that's fine.
No, I just jump ahead and ruin everything. This is the nature of our relationship.
Speaking of ruining everything.
You want to talk about today's whiskey?
Yeah. What's the mash bill?
I don't. I am livid.
Yeah. No, we're just kidding.
This screwball is amazing.
Yeah.
And I have no info on it.
Oh, actually, sorry. We do have info. I didn't want the notes up for the spoilers.
Right. It is the Uncle Nearest 1884 small batch whiskey. I didn't do any of the things.
Yeah.
It's a mash bill of at least 51% corn, rye, and malted barley. But that's not how that works.
Well, 51% corn, and then there's some rye and malted barley. I don't think it's specified.
4 years age, 46.5%
alcohol times two
times
equals
two
the proof. We
the
don't
proof.
Do math on this show.
93% proof.
Okay.
Just read.
Reading is a skill. I didn't read. I Googled.
All right. So Uncle Nearest is a really cool story just because Nearest, there's a lot of historical documentation that's come out as of recently where Nearest was actually the master distiller for Jack Daniels, worked with Jack Daniels in the early days in developing their early whiskey recipes. And obviously, as a black gentleman in Tennessee, he wasn't appropriately recognized. Mm-hmm. And all of that is like coming to light now. So it's like a great story going through. These releases are the time of the mash bills, I think publication or development, something like that. So the year has to do with that specifically. Yep. So yeah, we're trying one of those today, which I think.
And
I didn't
get
the
pro tip. It's not unwrapped, so we're going to do that right now.
This is going to be hard. So the pro tip for our one listener of the podcast, typically we do this in advance.
They know.
Yeah.
Hard and
you need
plastic.
Some help.
Maybe. Hold on.
You got to do it like you mean.
You guys feel free to have a peanut butter whiskey
while I
do this.
I'm okay, I think.
Yeah, I'm good.
You have to at least try
These
it.
Are cool cans, though.
Yeah,
like,
they are
the branding
cool
is nice.
We could have done worse, is all I'm saying.
Gold
it's
sheep.
Like we almost got a whole bottle of that crap.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were like,
well, we were going to do the joke with a whole bottle. And then we were like, that's not worth doing. Then we got to the checkout and they had these and we're like,
okay,
got to do it.
I'll let you forward first.
Okay, thank you.
Given
so the
what
joke,
we've done
we didn't explain the joke, but
that's true. Yeah.
The joke is that when we were setting up for me to be on the podcast, when you reached out and asked what type of whiskey I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I said, pretty much anything except for screwball peanut butter whiskey, because in the last time I spoke with you all, I told you what the absolute worst whiskey was that I ever tasted.
and
it was
this
screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Yep.
And so when I first sat down at this table, all there was this giant bottle of water and this screwball peanut butter whiskey that I am so disappointed in. But like you said, Robbie, the branding it's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's in a single serving can. It's nice. Maybe we can share it with the audience later on. Feel free. Anyone.
Yeah. Anyone that likes it.
All of you.
There, probably not
feel
many
free
people
to
that
some.
Do.
Anyway.
Smelling.
Oh, I poured a lot of that.
Yeah,
oops.
You did. You all,
that's all
did
right.
Not come to play. Hold on. I'm going to try and get a little of that pour sound.
I got some notes of juicy fruit in there.
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, juicy fruit, that gum stuff. Yeah, I get a little of that. Yeah.
Because juicy fruit is not juicy or fruity.
No, it has its own,
its own
unique
thing,
invented flavor. Yeah.
That's true. It is a very specific.
A little citrus. I mean, you don't have to follow our lead. Mm. You can just get in there.
No, I had a sip.
Yeah, I'm going to chew it a little bit.
Palating it. It's delicious. It's actually really good.
Ooh. Okay.
This is really good. It's sherbert. Strong, though.
A little sherbert in the start.
Sherbert could be said ice cream, to be juicy for like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
the yeah. flavor. I have some of that initially.
Actually, like a dreamsicle, like some vanilla.
Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm. Some cream in there, too.
I like
dreamsicle,
not just
what do you
casuals
call that?
Everything around me, but like yeah. real cream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like your descriptions today. These are very specific.
If you do this for a couple of years straight, you start to like invent words.
I
get,
hear it.
Get there. And, like,
well, you used to just say apricot. Anytime.
I know, dried apricot. Mm.
Everything is dried
apricot.
Which
does have a place, but.
I like that it's very it's strong, but it's not super overbearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could drink this neat and sip it really slowly with a big giant ice cube in it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And yeah. we could probably get drunk really quick after this.
93 proof is bringing some heat, so.
Oh, it is.
It's not
yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah, this is, I can feel it going all the way down,
a little
too.
Burn there, like a little
yeah.
hug, little,
oh, yeah.
a little Tennessee
yeah.
hug, this one.
Yes. Oh, yeah, not Kentucky
warm.
Hug.
No, not it's from Tennessee. I'm just trying
warm
to
rub
give it up where it goes. But, okay, it's been a little while, so you may or may not recall our very distinctive rating system from 0 to 8 tentacles. 0 is horrible. Perhaps this. Is, you know, is right there.
Yeah, that's
you
your baseline
be,
for
yes,
a 0.
Baseline than that. 4 is like not bad, not horrible, but you know, just kind of like it's all right. 8, amazing, clear the shelves. This is my brand. I'm just like, yeah, it's just really good. How about that? Maybe I'm not overdoing it, but yeah, I don't know. Did you want to go first or should I make
sure.
Robbie?
I'm going with an 8. I really like this. This is my exact type of whiskey.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's it going?
I love that.
I'm going to say 6.142, I think.
Okay.
This is solid.
Okay. Pretty good.
Solid score.
Like, I don't have any complaints about it. I just feel like there's other things I've liked more. So that's why a little bit less, but still very high. Would recommend.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel. So I tend to try to categorize some of these. And is this a straight bourbon or is it just an American whiskey? I'm going to assume the latter.
Yeah, because it's. Well, it's 51% corn, which means it would be bourbon, right?
It's yeah, and the age time matters too. So I don't know. Pretty tasty. I am kind of like between the 6 and 7 range on it. That's like I'm really enjoying that like initial kind of creamy, like orangey flavor with it. It's got a little bit of burn. It's actually like it ticks a lot of boxes for me. So I'm like I don't know. I'll go 6.5.
Nice.
I like it. Have it again. I actually think we tried one other of theirs.
This
which
one's
a
better.
100-proof one. I think this one is much better even.
Yep.
Which one did you try?
I forget what the other year was, but there's another year.
Okay.
Like
it has,
1856
it has
maybe.
A black label and it is 100-proof.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like bottled in bond.
Mm-hmm. And, how does this compare to that one?
I think this one's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would go with this one like.
Nice.
Every
good
day.
Good choice. Good choice.
Yeah. I think they have like 4 or 5. Like they have
do.
A barrel proof one out and they have a couple of different recipes.
It's hard to find all of them, but they do.
Right.
Total Wine. We have Total Wine has a bunch of them where I'm at in Phoenix.
Man, can't buy it at wine stores in Virginia. Turns out.
Oh wow. Right, you end up driving to Maryland.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, Maryland. All alcohol is in the same. Like you can't buy beer at the grocery store or anything. It's all at
Montgomery County. You can because I was in the. I used to get in. Here we go. Out myself as an alcoholic. There are whiskey lotteries for allocated bottles. So that's how I would get things like Pappy Van Winkle and Buffalo Trace antique collections and whatever else. So, yeah, it was a weird thing. And there's a Total Wine there that you could go to and get stuff.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know what you have. But...
I found it a lot. We do have a Total Wine in Atlanta. I found this in a couple of stores and even just the other package stores that we have.
Yeah.
They're called liquor stores out there. But. Or sometimes they call package stores, but yeah, you can find it. Our beer and wine is available both in the grocery stores and in the liquor stores.
Yeah, see? Same in Kentucky. Same. Phoenix, you can get it.
I
everywhere.
Like when you can get your liquor at CVS. That's the way to go.
Yeah, it's awesome. Solid.
It used to be for medicinal purposes only during Prohibition.
Well, that's true.
So they continue.
Yeah, Churchill
to
had a note when he was in the U.S. that. He could drink. It was a medical necessity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
and
guy
I believe
been nuts.
That. Like, I feel like he was onto something.
Yeah.
Secured a lot for me.
All right, should we do some lukewarm takes?
Yes, you like saying that.
That's I do. Thing. Yeah. Because I hate calling them hot now. They're not very hot anymore.
Well, that depends. Right, this one is kind of hot. Complaining a lot about, yes.
What do you think about nested ternaries?
I like nested ternaries. No, ooh. I don't like nested ternaries.
You can
sorry.
Leave now.
No, yeah. Sorry. I didn't hear the nested part. Then I repeated it, and then I heard it. And I was like, oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like nested ternaries.
Yeah.
They don't look as, they're not as readable for the outside person. It's great when you're just trying to get the logic out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's that, I forget what the line is, but you make it work and then make it pretty. So when you're in that make it work phase, it's a great way to just kind of lay out the logic and get things working until you're ready to go back and make it pretty. But yeah, I'm not a nested ternaries fan.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
I
think they should put a prettier rule in. That's just like, write nested ternaries if you want, and we're going to convert them to either ifs or... like a switch statement
switch
or case. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because nobody likes that. Yeah. No, people have been talking about it on Twitter, and I'm like, who likes these? I don't get it.
So they put up an example. Yeah. Someone critiqued it enough, and then there you go.
Are there people who are in favor of nested ternaries?
I don't know if they really are or if they're just trying to get attention.
Right. Fight another. Yeah.
Yeah. There are people that say they are.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Like, if you had to do it, is there like a limit? Like, would you do a nested ternary if it's only two cases?
Because I get confused with like all the colons and question marks of like what's where.
Yeah.
Maybe my brain's too small, but I don't like it.
Readability matters.
It does.
That's it.
The other, I guess there's more than one, but I'll go with this, is the everyone arguing about React server components or basically this, you know, blending too much of the server and the front end and browser readability and all of that kind of stuff. Basically, it's Next, not React, but it's called React server components.
So. Yeah. Do you have a question there? Or?
Yeah.
Mike, did you? No, I guess I didn't.
I know, you just said the words.
Like, yeah.
So, okay.
What is your opinion on that?
Your opinion on those arguments around React server components making React useless?
Wait, say that one more time.
Is that even the argument? All right, sorry, I'm derailing. People aren't saying it's useless.
No, they're just saying it's bad practice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much blending of the server on the client.
Right.
And does this look like PHP? What's the whole point of like forwarding this particular framework in this way?
Yeah. So actually, in 2021, I was part of the React working group where they were working on React 18, the beta version, and they collected a group of, not collected, but I don't know what the word is. They put together a group of people for this working group to introduce the features to before they were released. Mm. And React server components weren't called server components at that time, but the part that I was the most interested in is the streaming server rendering with Suspense. And a talk that I gave at React Conf that year was streaming server rendering with Suspense. So
say that five times.
Yes. Yeah, right?
Wait, have this first.
No. No, thank you. So I know a lot about it because I had to work with the team to build this talk. And I said this in the last podcast that I did with you all. I'm not that opinionated about things. And there's pros and cons to actually being opinionated in the first place. But I understand that in any situation, there's always trade-offs to things. When it comes to front end versus back end and how separate they should be, I'm like, why not? Like, I'm of the opinion that like, why not? Maybe not in every single case, right? But especially when you're working on big applications like I am, like I can see why there's a different developer who's responsible for managing the front end. But I don't want, if I'm a manager or if I'm anybody as part of that team, I don't want everybody just working in silos and only focusing on the front end and never giving any consideration to the back end. And so merging the two, to me, is a way of forcing people to consider both sides of things and not to just like, okay, I'm going to make it as easy as possible. I'm just going to put all these nested ternaries in there because this is the easiest thing to do. Now I'm thinking about what are the implications from a design perspective, and what are the implications from back-end perspective? So now, like, as a front-end engineer, I'm forced to consider things from a back-end perspective. And I'm just of the mindset that, like, thinking of things from other perspectives changes the way that you code, the way you architecture code, for the better. So I'm more in favor of the general, like, we need to work as a team aspect of it. And if that's one way of getting people to do more, like getting front-end engineers to do more back-end work or make considerations of the back-end more, then that's it. I guess I take it maybe a little bit deeper than it needs to be, but I'm like,
no, I think there's actually a couple of different potential aspects of that. To one degree, it sounds like you kind of advocate for full stack web frameworks, mm-hmm. right? Like, you don't need a separation of concerns. We can actually kind of have this unified application framework that is getting us there, and the code base is shared. And even if, like, you know, this person is working more on the API side and this person is working more on the UI template side, you're seeing that progress together, right? Right. And then the alternative is sort of like contracts. Mm-hmm. So you talk about, like, if it is a separate backend and a separate front end, and this is the working overlap, there are contracts there, and you can contract test and things of that nature. So there's almost like, regardless, they're never like completely abstracted from one another, because they're, you know, consumers of one another in exactly. various ways. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like, the thing that's been historically the reason why we want them to be separate is, like, security or whatever. Like, you don't want your front end to access the database, which it kind of looks like we're doing now in React. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not really, though. Like, as long as you still have the correct safeguards in place, it's fine. But I think people get worried seeing that and thinking, like, but maybe we don't need to care, because before everything, all these frameworks, if you were doing PHP or whatever, you knew how to do MySQL and all the things, and you were just doing it all. It was separate, but you still had all that knowledge. So maybe it's not that bad.
I don't know. Those frameworks still had ORMs, though, right? Like,
well, yeah.
So you were never, like, doing, like, select all from table drop.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were sometimes. And hopefully if you did it wrong, you go, hey, I'm going to quit my job real quick, and I'll see you later.
This is my notice that this was production, right? Yeah. So there are reasons for abstractions, mm-hmm. but yes.
Sure.
But being completely unaware or agnostic to what else is happening in delivering things on the web, I agree with that. I think that, like, you can be a master of your craft, but you don't necessarily need to be completely unaware of everything else that is happening to deliver this thing on the web. It's highly complex. Yeah. That's part of it, right?
So you would say it depends?
Mostly. I mean, that's what makes me a senior engineer, exactly. is that I just usually respond with, it depends. Have a little drink of whiskey.
I like it.
Yeah. The another hard-hitting question is, sidebar on the left or right in VS Code?
Left.
The right answer was Vim.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Whenever, I don't do it either. Whenever someone responds to that with, I use NeoVim, it's like, well, okay, that's the wrong answer.
You're just trying to show off. Yeah. That's what that means. Yeah. I'm just trying to write some text files. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
VS Code all day.
Right.
All day, every day.
Oh, yeah.
So, little known fact. Not really.
Not after today.
Yeah.
We're going to hear about it now.
It's a largely known fact. I was learning to code in 2019. And I didn't know, there was nobody to tell me, because I was self-taught. There was nobody to tell me what an IDE, like what the IDEs were.
Right.
I just, in my head, I never asked anybody, but I'm like, I'm assuming the IDEs cost money. And so I'm like, all right, well, what's a free thing that I can use to code? I landed on Dreamweaver. So in 2019, I learned to code on Dreamweaver.
Nice.
Making like the worst type of websites. It was just like HTML. It was just like all HTML, like the body, and then div, and like everything was just like nested divs, and everything was repeated. I didn't understand any JavaScript, so it was just like, to make a nav bar, I would have a div and a div and a div, and there was no, like, there was no functional aspect of it. It was just, everything was just laid out. But yeah, it was all in Dreamweaver, my first little website.
Interesting.
Yep.
I'm surprised Dreamweaver's free, honestly.
You know what? I don't think it actually was. I think at the time I had access to somebody's Adobe account.
She stole it?
You know what?
Just this episode is computer like, back.
Yeah. This episode is sponsored by Adobe Creative Suite.
Using people's logins to accounts.
It's funny though. Early days, I worked on Dreamweaver 2 as well. Because it was taking Photoshop files and slicing them up and turning them into tables. Yeah.
And you had to already be a professional photographer to afford Photoshop, which made no sense.
You said steal.
That's why you steal it. Yeah. Because unless you're already a professional.
It was like $2,000.
Yeah,
for
I'm
versions.
Like, I can pay that. Anyway, sorry.
That's my Windows days. But anyway.
The dark days, yeah.
The dark days. Just a cold, dark day.
Yeah, PowerShell. Yeah.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, no. Robbie's like, was I born yet?
I used Windows.
I had the Power Rangers.
I even used Windows 3 some. 3.1 or whatever.
I don't even know.
Wasn't
know
that a thing? Am I wrong?
Yeah,
there was a 3.1, but I think your dad used it and you...
At our church, we got all these computers like donated that were really old.
This makes sense.
I played like old games on
that. So much sense.
Yeah.
It was like,
no, we had 95 in my house.
Yeah, I was going to say 95 was like the big release, and there was one before that, but I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was using...
Was Vista before that? Microsoft? Wait.
No, Vista's
Vista
later.
Was before...
It was after 98.
Was before XP, right?
Yeah.
XP.
Yeah, Vista was before XP.
They just got rid of XP, I feel like. People were like, I don't need to upgrade.
IE6 finally just got eliminated from the whole world.
Unless you're certain companies we know of.
Yeah, you just might as well out people. Anyway, you have topics.
Topical. I don't know what we were talking about a minute ago.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Was GraphQL a mistake?
No. I love GraphQL. I went on a whole rant. You know how sometimes people will say something and it just like something clicks in your brain, you just nerd and you just like talk very nerdy all of it. And then you just realize like 40 minutes in, you're like, wait a second, I have been talking this entire time. So I was talking to somebody about, and this was a couple drinks in already, but like I was talking to somebody about GraphQL and they asked me they didn't ask me. They just said that they hate GraphQL. Mm. You know what? After that conversation, I understand GraphQL is not appropriate for certain applications.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an application that's like super small, building a GraphQL schema makes no sense. And in my case, where I'm using GraphQL is at Netflix, where we have a bunch of different data stores. And then we federate all that data into graph.
Yes.
And like I could take the astronomical amount of information at Netflix, right? User data.
There's a lot of info there.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
As a REST API. Or I could just, you know, take it as part of the federated graph and only take the parts that I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I love GraphQL. And I gave my talk about transferable skills, and I talked about how one of my lessons in my career switch was to shoot your shot. When I applied for my job at Netflix, this was listed in the job requirements that I needed React and GraphQL skills. I had never, I'd heard of GraphQL, but I had never used GraphQL.
Right.
I had used REST at my previous job, and I didn't really understand what GraphQL did. And I just looked up enough in my interview that I could say, okay, this is how it compares to REST, but all of my practice was with REST. Now that I'm so practiced with GraphQL, I'm like, man, this makes my application so lightweight. Like I said, with all the abundant amount of data that we have, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to be able to just take what I need, just to show what I need, just to make the calls and select just the pieces of information that I need from each data store. So No, it wasn't a mistake. No.
Okay. I wasn't saying it was.
I just want to, because I have this at my convenience, I just want to thank Ross as set us up. So 3.11 and 3.1 were the versions before 95. I think 3.11 added networking.
Okay. So I was not wrong.
Shut up. No,
everyone's like, oh, Windows 3.
Right,
no. Yeah. Yes, it was.
It feels like it was all a farce before 95.
You should know. You were still like using an abacus.
So
and, like...
I graduated, first of all. Exactly. I mean, that was almost the jump. So I had a weird situation. So Windows 95 was the year that I graduated high school. My high school had this like crazy federal grant through like Bill Clinton and all this other stuff. So we had PowerBooks, and all the teachers had like whatever the Apple stations.
So you weren't using Windows at all.
I mean, I was barely using a computer, and it was the free ones from the government, and they were like PowerBooks. You go write a thing, and so yeah, I actually didn't get much computer literate until after high school.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, like I could do things like. I had aunt or uncle or whatever who had like an Apple II, and we could make banners and play Oregon Trail. Like computers
pirate
were
stuff,
like,
download yeah, things,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, that came later. College, we Napster.
Maybe that
and
was
all
a little
stuff.
Later.
Yeah,
than
that was
yeah.
later for me. So anyway, shout out to Ross. Thank you.
Yeah,
for
thanks,
that.
Ross.
And I was mostly computer illiterate until around that time. Not like completely, but I definitely wasn't anywhere on the path right.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize how old you are.
Like, I say it all the time.
As a young face,
yeah, you too.
That's my agent. I feel like you should be representing this in some appropriate way. So
you've got like the hip clothing and everything.
Yeah.
So it's
right,
like,
right. Yeah, that it throws you off.
Like, yeah, it yeah, does. Yeah, it does. No, you look like hello, fellow kids.
I don't even know what that is.
Paul Rudd.
oh,
hello,
that
fellow
Paul
millennials.
No, he's Steve Buscemi.
Paul Steve Buscemi,
Rudd did
it
too.
It was Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi, see.
But Paul Rudd also did it.
Hey, fellow kids. Okay, well, the meme that she's referencing.
With the skateboard.
Okay,
yes,
okay,
Buscemi.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Whatever,
Buscemi.
Whatever.
Paul Rudd is ageless, okay, by the way. So
he did like a commercial for like millennials or something. I forget the details, but he was like, hello fellow millennials.
And, so it was probably a play on that original.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hello, fellow kids.
He's like, as someone also born in this time period.
We're all Gen Xers and we're forgotten. I don't know what to say. So,
yeah.
Where were we?
Oh, I don't know. Did we have any more hot takes? Pages or app router? I don't really care. I mean, I don't know either of those. Which do you like?
What was it?
Pages or app router. So that's more about the Triangle company changes.
I don't actually use Next in my job, so I don't have an opinion on
good
that.
Good for you.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's like straight up React. No frameworks.
Yeah, so you touched on your talk a little. Do you want to give a few highlights from your talk?
Okay, so my talk was on leveraging transferable skills. It's called cold calls to code calls, because I went from sales to engineering.
Yes.
So the first part of my talk is just explaining my big fear when I went through my career transition, which was that I'd be throwing away over a decade of experience and all that hard work and all the career capital that I'd built during my time in sales. I had a resume that could get me in the door wherever I wanted to go to. And now I'd be like competing with other people for jobs, people who had used all that time to get their experience, to get their reps in and stuff.
Right.
And, so the first part is me facing that fear, but then also there's this realization that I'm actually like the coding skills, not to minimize it, but like when you're going for an interview, the coding skills become a commodity. And because you can bet that when your resume is against somebody else's, they have that same, they have the React skills and the GraphQL skills the same as you have, but what can you add to that? And really it comes down to these transferable skills. So I realized that especially in a career previously where my career was based off of soft skills in sales, your career is just based off of your ability to connect emotionally with somebody. There were so many lessons that I learned that made me a great salesperson, but that made me an exceptional engineer because I could code, but I could also like have these emotional connections. So I'm teaching the lessons that I learned in sales, these big lessons, to help people to understand that one, your previous skills in your previous career or your parenting or your volunteering or whatever you do outside of work is, or in a previous job, that's not a waste. Like, you take those skills and you're building on them. That's one. And then also, I want you to learn these same lessons that I learned in sales to be able to equip yourself with how to market yourself as what I call a superset of an engineer. So a superset, I consider it to be an upgrade. So the regular engineer is here. You, with your skills, your ability to communicate with people, your ability to persevere, your ability to speak multiple languages, your ability to lead, that makes you an upgrade for whatever everybody else is. So that was pretty much my talk. It was meant to be inspirational, but also to share my story of my career transition.
It's actually an amazing path, because having been an engineering manager and helped people on their career paths, and like you said, like, they were spending that time working on their technical skills and the acumen in that sense, but oftentimes what would be Chick-fil-A, I'm sorry,
ADHD.
Oftentimes what would be,
I like Chick-fil-A.
It is. We'll try and wrap this up so Robbie can get some Chick-fil-A.
Getting hungry over
but
here.
Anyway, yeah, but what is oftentimes like the discussion and the inhibitor, and like what are things we need to work on, are the soft skills.
Yes.
You don't know how to evangelize your wins. If you're trying to move into leadership, you need to work better with other people.
That's and a so, big like, thing that like...
You were front loading all of that stuff and you just had to like flip the script on that. And you're like, let me get good enough at, you know, good at coding and show you I got both already. Boom.
Yeah. That's like one of the big things that people don't do is talk about what they've been doing and being like, I did this work. I did it this way. I did a great job. Like, I'm the best. It sounds like, you know, you shouldn't say that because you're like full of yourself or whatever, but you should, because like, that's the only way you get noticed. People want to give you promotions when you're doing that. Like, if you can't do that,
no one's a bigger fan of you than you, and you should recognize that.
Yeah,
and
like we teach modesty, but like, no, you don't need to do that when you're trying
modesty
to get
modesty is a career of 20-year mediocrity, and that's maybe fine for people. It is totally fine. I think that, like, if someone is in a lane that they are comfortable with and they're okay with that, I have no problem with that, to be honest. But if you're asking me how to level up, how to get promoted, how to get more money, how to get more of whatever, then it takes work. You can't just keep following the same path to get to that. And that's it. That's your choice. So, and I think we do need some of both. There's no doubt about that. But
I tweeted a couple weeks ago, somebody was asking for advice, like career advice for people who are over 30 or from people who are over 30. And I was like, my biggest thing is to get comfortable bragging about yourself. Like, that's the biggest thing. And one thing that I've learned in sales, and people have made comments to me recently, like, you seem so confident. And is that something that you've always had? No, it's something that I've had to practice, something that I had to get my reps in, because I've heard no so many times. I've been hung up on so many times. I've been insulted so many times. And me coming in as like a young Black woman to any space is just like automatically, immediately, you're stereotyped as this or that or whatever. Everybody is stereotyped at some level. You know, you're expected to be this and that. And my ability to let one, like, insults, weird questions, curious-ish comments roll off of me, that's a whole other skill that I've had to practice. But my ability to relentlessly fight for the value that I see is, it's such a powerful skill. But where it comes into play when it comes to like interviewing, going for promotions, is like, you have to fight for that value for yourself. You can't, like you said, you can't feel humble. Like, that is, that's the biggest weakness that you can have. Like, even if, and this is a big part of my talk, is like, so many times as people, we will devalue our skills. We'll discredit ourselves. We'll assume that everybody has the exact same skills that we have at the same level that we have. And that's not the case.
Right.
Just because it comes easily to you, just because it comes naturally to you, it doesn't mean that everybody, it comes naturally or easily to everybody else.
Right.
So, like, take pride in it. And even if it is something that everybody else can do, you do it better. Like, you have to convince yourself in your head that you have more value to offer. And you have to be able to articulate that value. So it's like, that's really all sales is just like feeling confident in whatever thing you're selling. If you're in an interview, you're selling yourself.
Yeah.
So just being able to feel confident in that, not even feel confident, act like you feel confident in it.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And
if
interviewing
you want
is.
If you Sorry. Want something. No, you're okay.
No, you go.
No, how about you?
Oh, okay.
You guys are.
You know, we don't get to be in person that often. Oh. So that's just part of it. No, but I think that, like, you have a lot of, you have a personal responsibility.
Yep.
If you want something else, it's not up to someone else to see it in you. Sure. It's up to you to evangelize that. And if, like you said, you're somebody who it just comes natural to me, you don't have to gatekeep that because you're going to keep getting it, you know? So, like, invite people to that. And they are going to support you, and they'll do some of that evangelizing for you. Mm-hmm. That's another way to go about it.
Yeah.
You can either do it yourself, or you can support others, and they will also evangelize that, and that will get you there,
letting them know what you're doing. You pair with them. You do things. They will all be like,
they're gonna be like,
this person's
awesome.
Good. And then they'll let
you know why I'm doing a good job? Because Robbie's been helping me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that also does a thing. So you can take a couple of routes there, I think.
But, I love that. I love that. I especially love the... Like, even if it comes naturally to you, it's not a bad thing because, so here's a conflict that I have in my head, and I'm like kind of bringing up a spicy-ish topic, but it's not spicy to me. I don't care. Mm. So we can just talk as freely as we want to about it. So I feel like affirmative action, diversity, right? There's an aspect of me speaking at conferences where it's like, you know, okay, maybe... So this is in my head. Part of me thinks that, okay, maybe conference organizers are like, who's a Black woman who would talk about React? There's only one. Like, you know, there's like one option, right?
There's only one?
No, there's more, but there's like a handful. Like, you can probably count on one hand, right?
Yeah.
And so part of me is like, well, you know, I guess I was born with this skin and I was born with this gender. So this is obviously something that has come very naturally to me, my Blackness, right? My my femininity or my womanness, right? So there's part of me that's like, oh, you know, this is something that comes naturally to me. So it makes it easier in some sense to get to certain places because I'm like, if you only are here to fill a quota, then I'm a very natural fit, right? And so part of me as just like, you know, well, that's not fair. Like, you know, we shouldn't think like that. Is like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't do things. I shouldn't do conferences where I feel like I'm just the token, right?
Sure.
Another part of me is like, I need to capitalize on this uniqueness because this is what's getting me in the door. When I show up and I show up, I love Tessa. Shout out to Tessa from Snap. When I show up, like when I get there, I'm going to show up and show out. I'm not just going to be there as the diversity person.
Sure,
even if I am like hired or like accepted as a speaker.
If you get in the door for that reason, that's fine.
Right.
But you're going
to
get so much
more. When I
more.
Get there, I'm going to show you exactly why.
Yeah.
Yep.
Other people, you need to be bringing in other people. This is diversity of not just race and gender. This is diversity of perspectives. This is the flavor that you need on your chicken. Yeah, like, this is, you know, you have been eating.
Stop making me hungry.
No, I'm telling you, you've been eating the worst type of chicken for so long. Let's come over to Chick-fil-A and let me show you what we can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me show you what you've been missing out on. And then I feel like I'm opening the door for more people. So not only am I giving this view to people who haven't ever given a chance to other Black women, right? So other people who haven't been exposed to Black women in tech. And showing them what we can do, I'm also showing other Black women that this is what it can look like to be authentically yourself and to find a career where you can be happy and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm playing to all the different sides. So I choose to lean into that side where it's like, I just block it out of my mind. All that to say, if something comes naturally to you, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I shouldn't capitalize on it, or I shouldn't tout it because it's so easy, like it comes easy for me. I've always been a great speaker, or I grew up in a different country, so I naturally speak multiple languages, so that's not something like I shouldn't apply to things that actually leverage those skills. They feel guilty, and I get it. I get it. Like, I understand the guilt behind it, but I feel like it's okay. I feel like it's okay to capitalize on something that comes naturally to you because it's just kind of like,
yeah,
everything else is set up to be so hard. Yeah. So why not take the easy things?
Why not
things,
lean
yeah.
in
you know?
And see what you can
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
And you don't set the rules. Like, why would you not take advantage of
Absolutely.
Like...
Absolutely.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
I have an interesting counterexample, but I also, I know you, and I want you to call me on bullshit at any point.
You know I will.
This.
I'm very
okay.
curious
you know
to see
I'm
where this
so
goes.
Welcome.
I'm eating the popcorn here.
Yes, you are. You should be, because I definitely question myself a little bit in this. And I think so. We talked to James Quick before you, and he brought to light that he has a passion for, doesn't know if he's good at, but whatever else is like a thing that he likes to do. And that is rap, like yes. write rap music and all that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like he wants to write rap lyrics, he wants to rap, like he's done a little bit of it and whatever else. Mm-hmm. And I made a comment over like, there is, I think, you know, to some culturally, there's some homogeny that has happened. And I know for me, like I grew up in an urban atmosphere listening to like punk rock and hip hop. And like the, you know, I do feel very connected to it. And I had a lot of that through my life, but obviously it doesn't come from me. Mm-hmm. Like I don't own that or whatever else. But would it be suffice to say that it's sort of like, as a society, this is a good way to sort of move forward and say like, oh, tech has been very like white dominated. And now we're like saying like, no, we want other perspectives because we want to learn how to make things for all users, right?
Yeah.
Not just
right.
business users, not whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know 100% where I was going with this, but it kind of like brought up yeah. that example to me of being like, it's also kind of like not super cool, even with folks who have become successful in hip hop, mm-hmm. like for white folks to be like, I like hip hop. I right. want to write some, I don't write poetry. I write yeah. hip, I write rhymes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, is that cool too? And
so first I'll say, Chuck, you'll never be cool. So
thank you. I know. I keep trying, but
oh,
I love it.
Truth.
That's all right.
Cheers.
I can live with that. I can live with it.
Cheers to this. Hold on. It's good luck. You have to tap it and take a sip.
Oh,
and
gosh.
That's always why I want to hang out with black ladies.
That's exactly
they will
it.
Never accept me, but
no, but we elevate you, and this
I know,
is why.
I know.
Like,
my wife knows
I'm
this.
Happy
this
to
is
be
a secret. Like, anyway.
Oh god.
I love it. No, but you bring up a great point. So there's a couple things that I want to say about it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, I'll call up first the offensive route, right, that we could go. I'm not saying that you went offensive. I'm just saying there's
no,
the offensive route.
That's
that
why I was like, I'm trying
go.
Not to be, right. but I want to bring this up, and there feels like an overlap.
Yeah, no. So there's the appropriation route, right, yeah. which I'm just calling out. I'm not saying anybody here, right, because it's not the case. There's the appropriation route where we, not we, black, white men, right, take parts that are cool of a culture and then try to say this is ours, or like,
yeah.
you know, you take it and you give it a different name and then you say it's ours. Like,
yeah.
oh, hey, you know, this used to be a taco. Now I'm calling it a salad with a quesadilla or a flat
knows, whatever,
piece of bread yeah. underneath, you know?
yeah,
so
yeah,
you're appropriating, right?
Sure.
That's
yeah.
not what's happening here.
Yeah.
This is curiosity about a different culture. This is the admiration of a culture, and this is me like trying to be in it. So if you're including the people who have started this culture, the people who are the best at it, and making sure that their voices are heard, leveraging your ability to communicate, leveraging your platform, leveraging your podcast to lift up these people
yeah.
and saying, okay, this is a fun thing to do. James, for example, he's a great example, because James, I attribute a lot of my ability to get out there to. Me and him were like fast friends. It was like immediately he invited me on his podcast when I was like getting my first starts in tech. I don't even know if I had actually moved into tech, but he invited me on his podcast just to like talk about tech stuff. We started out just talking, and we was like, oh my gosh, we have so much in common, and he's so great. But And I know, because I've been saying that we're going to rap battle at some point.
oh, yes.
I know, like, where he's coming from is a place of admiration and just, like,
yeah,
this
sure.
is my stuff. Like, I love rappers. And obviously, rap is predominantly It's all black. So like, right. I admire rap and I want to be part of this. Like, I'm not trying to take it over. I'm not trying to say this is a tech thing or whatever. It's just like, you know, hey, I admire you and I want to lift you up. So he's very much like, I see what you're doing. I recognize it. I'm going to leverage what I have built to make sure that you get what you need. Yeah. And I just feel like he just continues to give and give and give. Like, nothing that he does is just, oh, you know, let me boost James. Let me do this for me. It's always, okay, what can I do for you? What can I do for my guests? And I guess that's the distinction, is like, where you're here for the community, you're here to build people up, you're here just authentically interested, curious, and excited.
Intentions
about
matter.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And it comes across like it's, you can't fake it.
You're not trying to steal it. You're
right.
Just like,
you just love it.
I love this.
Right. A part of
this.
This
is just a part of who I am.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I figured you'd dig it. And so, this is good.
I do dig it. I do. And I can't wait to battle.
I mean,
are we going to battle?
Probably not. I don't write. I love rap music. I grew up with it. Like, I'm Fat Boys all the way, you know.
I think Ken Wheeler needs to just spin beats and we'll just have
people on.
And
then we'll
just
do rap battles. And I'll tell you what, if we can get to an event where Ken is spinning, and it's just rap battle, I'll go fail that. I don't give a shit.
I'll fail because
I would give it a try.
I'm not a freestyle rapper. I'm not a freestyle rapper. I'm a spoken word poet, but I come prepared. I have all my rhymes written.
I mean, rap battles are like their own thing. Like, there's plenty of people who never made it in the industry that are incredible.
Really?
It takes a lot
of thought. Did you ever watch some of that stuff?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Hot Sauce.
And, Mystery of Hip Hop is the most, one of the best docuseries I've ever seen.
What was it called?
History of Hip Hop.
Oh,
and he breaks down, like, you know, the history of it, but also like in the different areas and stuff. It's so funny. I had to go to Tucson with my wife last weekend, and I was talking about it a little bit about like, I told her about how Andre has a flute album now.
Okay.
And I was like, that's just his truth. Like, he's probably in his 50s. Like, it's not the Dungeon
flute
family
exclusively?
Anymore. Yeah. And she's like, Dungeon? Yeah. It's a flute album. He's done. He's just, that's where he's at.
Okay.
And that's okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, Dungeon
Artists
family
can make
was,
whatever art
they were
want.
In Atlanta in a house down in a basement. It was dirt floor. They drug their equipment down. They just lived there and just made music. Right? And then, you know, Atlians or whatever came out. I think Atlians was the first one.
Atlians.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never heard it pronounced like that. And that is
hilarious. Chuck pronounces stuff wrong.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I do that.
He owns it, though. He's like, this is how it's said.
He was so confident about that.
You know,
I've never
heard
that.
Me a hard time.
That was great. Yeah.
This is what people do. That's fine. I will own many mistakes, and that's one of them. But I saw Outkast in Tempe, Arizona in like 2001 or 2 or something, like, when they were in a tiny place. So
wow. So I'm from the Northeast originally.
Mm-hmm.
So Outkast wasn't, like, I only had heard the hits. Now that I'm living in Atlanta, now I'm hearing all of the Outkast stuff. Like all the goods.
Not
the good
just
stuff.
Rosa Parks, but you gotta like
right.
Get deep.
Yeah. So now I'm like,
six
you know,
minutes.
Getting put on.
You should get
the
Dungeon
albums.
Family 6 minutes, and it plays off of a Dougie Fresh thing back in the day, like 6 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up on Biggie. I grew up on Jay-Z, of course.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. So very much like the New York rap was stuff.
I tend towards East Coast, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you a Biggie fan? This is a hot take.
Yeah, for sure.
Biggie or Tupac?
Biggie.
Yeah. You're not just saying that because I'm here, right?
No.
Yeah.
I like Tupac, but I think Tupac was also like, he was trying to be successful and he was willing to jump around as he needed it. And I don't mean that in a house thing.
I was just like,
it was the tip of my tongue. Yeah.
I will get there. I listen to the Fat Boys, Dougie Fresh, like, Run DMC back in the day. Like, I listened to a whole bunch of like very old school things too.
So would you say your favorite type of music is hip hop, or is that just one of the many genres that you...
I mean, I go through moods, but I definitely
do. You like new stuff? Because that's like, older stuff is way different and better, in my opinion.
Yeah, some, but it takes digging.
Do you like
auto-tune?
I don't
like radio stuff. No, mostly. I mean, 808 had some interesting auto-tune. And actually, Death of Auto-Tune, Jay-Z, was like fucking awesome.
That was just like...
Called everyone out. Yeah.
He was like, here's how I do it right, and I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was my stuff. That was my stuff. Oh, my God. Now I got to go back and listen to...
Wu-Tang, though, by the way, was probably the right answer for me around that time.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you, who was your favorite rapper or rap group?
Well, I have a hard time picking favorites, and they change all the time, so...
Top three.
But I'm a big Wu-Tang fan. Big,
yeah?
For sure. Yeah. Okay. And the RZA as a producer is incredible. RZA as a rapper, Bobby Digital stuff was like, all right, and the Prince Rakim stuff. Yeah. Like, not great for me, but... I mean, Method Man is one of the best lyricists ever. He's incredible.
Incredibly good looking man.
Right.
Like,
right.
Even to this day, I'm like, my goodness. Yeah. Woo. No, even like LL Cool J could never. Like,
I get that. LL is one of the best lyricists of all time, actually.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I've
read a bunch of stories about how, like, he'd do collabs for people, walk in, spend 30 minutes, and just be like, boom, 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 crushed it, and just kill it.
Interesting. Well,
the lyrics and the rapping are different skills, though. Like,
it's right. That's right.
I think his lyrics
like
and his flow is just good. Yeah, I just think he's good. I think he can kill it. Like,
so okay, let me give you mine. So I'm thinking, Jay-Z is definitely in my top. This is not in any particular order, but my top, three-ish.
Top five lyricists.
Five.
Okay.
Not in any particular order. I'm just going. Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
J. Cole.
Good. R.I.P.
No.
He's dead. Yeah. Oh, not
J. Cole. I was like, did I miss
him? Yeah.
Detroit guy that I confused.
Detroit
with
guy.
Him too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for being
we're
specific.
We're narrowing it real down. Like,
all right. Well, I'll get Blaze for this one. Thanks. we'll
come back to it.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Are you talking about
Jay?
But he's from California, though.
Yeah, you know, he's from Detroit. And he's Jay.
Please Google it. Let her finish her list and then Google it.
Because now I'm
okay.
Because
I need to know who died. All right.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, J. Cole. Who else? This is hard because I need a female. Okay. Not necessarily the best lyricist, but kind of. Megan Thee Stallion, like,
oh,
I love
good,
her.
Actually. I
love
her
everything about her.
Yeah.
Everything she embody, oddie, hotties.
Yes.
Yeah. She's definitely
that's my
the
girl.
Heir apparent. Right?
Everything about her is just... she's good. And...
She was great on Hot Ones, too, by the way. You heard that,
too. I didn't know she was on Hot Ones.
You gotta watch that. You're gonna love it.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
I gotta... quit this conference after this. Honestly, I'll grab some barbecue, bring it up to my room.
Bring this with
my family's coming.
Yeah,
I think Sarah wants to meet you. I don't know. My wife wants to meet you, so
she does.
Yeah, I think so.
I want to meet her
but
too.
But you told her not to come down here.
What's
no, she. I didn't tell her not to. I told her to come at 4, and then she said kids are sleeping.
I guess Caitlin decided not to come.
I don't know who to pick for 5 because I feel so stressed about picking the 5th and ostracizing the rest of all of the great lyricists.
We can come back to it. Say, we'll let you know.
Yeah, because I'm like,
we'll tweet it later.
Like, would it be a group? I am very stressed about this. I don't know what to do.
There's a lot of good
options.
Yeah,
let's just keep thinking about it.
But you got to leave someone out if you're only picking 5. So,
yeah. No, you're right. And that's made me way more stressed than I are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't really think. Who's yours, Robbie?
Yeah,
for like
who's
old school rap?
Any rap, because
I don't know. I really like A Tribe Called Quest.
Oh yes,
that's a good choice.
That's a good call.
A really good choice.
Yeah,
yeah, I love them.
Maybe Biggie.
I mean,
maybe Pac.
But you got to pick one. Is it Q-Tip?
We said
just
top
Q-tip?
5.
You got to do Q-Tip. Is it groups or individual?
Well, we weren't specific.
Lyricists? Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Anyway. Oh man, I've had a lot of whiskey. Okay.
Yeah, I have too.
Let's circle back to tech just for a minute.
Okay.
Good luck with
I
that.
I checked out your course website earlier. It's not fully done yet, right? Or how's that going?
I don't know if it's appropriate or allowed to announce it yet, but the course is going to be merged with one of your favorites.
Matt Pocock.
Pocock?
It's not Matt Pocock. Mm-hmm. but same family, actually. He's a cousin.
Oh,
now.
Another Pocock?
Two cocks.
The good part.
Oh, God.
This is the good part about drinking more.
Yeah.
No, okay. It's all the same family. So TS4JS was sponsored by or hosted, I don't know what the word is. I was working with the Egghead folks. There's Joel Hooks, amazing person, who has also this other business that's related to Egghead, Skill Recordings. And so there's a lot of great courses that have come out of Skill Recordings. So I haven't announced it yet. It'll be announced pretty soon, but I'm going to be collaborating on my course with somebody who I respect so much just as a human being, as a parent, and especially as a course creator. And my TypeScript course will be part of that. So, yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. We'll see what it's called. But you heard it here first. This is the first time actually saying this publicly.
Now you're stuck.
Cool. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm accountable to it.
I also did have on here, I wanted to circle back because you've been talking about your son's pants being the same size as yours.
Gosh.
Yes.
Like, we should. Do you think that's attributed to the bougie milk? Or?
You know what? That's, you know what, you actually,
that's a good touch point.
That's an authentic reaction because I heard that whatever hormones are in milk are making kids grow exponentially. So my son, I'm 5'6", and my son is up to here on me when I'm standing up.
Yeah.
And I've been confusing his
pants.
He's
like 6, right?
He just turned 6. Like, he's a freshly couple months old.
Wow.
6 years old, right? And so I remember on his first birthday, you go for the checkup and they do the height and weight and everything. He was exactly half my size at 1 year old.
Wow.
And I was like, this is kind of a problem.
With physical. Yeah, that is cool though.
Yeah. But then he's grown another half, like another quarter or whatever since then. But the whole reason we're talking about this, so I tweeted about how I was confusing my son's pants with my pants. Like when I was taking them out of the laundry. And then there was one moment where I was like looking at a pair of pants and my son's like, what's going on? Like, he's like, what's wrong?
Why are you looking at those pants?
Yes. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out which load to fold it up into. Does it go on his hangers or my hangers? So I'm looking at it. He's like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out, are these your pants or my pants? And he's like, this is funny. So he was like, mommy, they're my pants because you always wear broken pants. And I was like, do you mean because I always wear ripped jeans, which I'm literally wearing ripped jeans right now. And I was like, do you mean because I'm wearing ripped jeans? He's like, yeah, no, he was like, you just have broken pants. And I was like, somebody commented and they were like, how tall are you if you're 6 year old? You're confusing their pants. I'm like, I'm normal. I'm 5'6".
Yeah,
I'm the normal one. He's the abnormal like freak of nature. He's a giant. So, but yeah, so I posted a TikTok. Now I'm on TikTok, by the way. So I posted a TikTok where I'm showing his pants.
How many dances do you do?
I don't even do dances, but I was learning from my friend's daughter, so that makes her my niece. So I was learning from my niece about how to grow my TikTok and Instagram at one of the open spaces at that conference a little while ago. So I think I will start doing dances. It was just a video where I held my son's pants up to my waist, and I showed this is exactly why, because his pants go from my waist to like this far on my ankles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's 6.
Yeah.
Like, it's newly minted 6 years old.
How many people have said, you're going to get him into basketball?
Oh, yeah. Right. Because he can't be a dental assistant, right? As a giant. Like, what else are you going to do?
Lean over a lot for that. Yeah.
Like, in your teeth. Like, let me get in there.
Well, hopefully he keeps growing because I grew real fast and was like this height in sixth grade. And then never stopped.
Okay. And how tall are you?
5'10.
Yeah.
So all the doctors are like, you're going to be way over 6 feet. I'm like, oh, cool. Nope. Nope.
Right. And that's about the height of his dad. So I'm like, on both sides of his family, my brothers, my dad, everybody's well over 6 feet. And he and his dad, my son's dad and my son's dad's dad, are both the shortest in their family, like 5'10", 5'11"-ish. And then everybody else is over 6 feet. So I'm hoping that he's adopted.
Maybe got that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the shortest
one. I feel
one.
The struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Are you going to waste these?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no desire to drink it.
Are you going to drink all three?
We should. We'll just take them to the barbecue and be like,
all
right, here you go.
We'll see what happens.
I like it. All right. I respect it. Yeah, because I'm not drinking it. Yeah. Absolutely right. Not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah, I'm empty, but.
You don't have to be.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, but it's just now 5, bro. Like,
5 o'clock somewhere.
I'm
Let's go for
I'm trying to not be too unconscious.
Wait, can I walk around with this? It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do a little bit more.
No. Yeah. Salute. I mean, Clark will let you, but I don't know if the conference center likes that or not.
That's fine. I don't do anything except talk.
All right.
My voice.
All right. Thanks. So, well, no, we gotta end the.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You got anything you want to plug before we end?
Absolutely. So let's plug my Twitter and my new TikTok. So if you want to follow, and my YouTube. So I'm a very Googleable person. So just look for. I'm the only Shandae person in the world. S-H-A-U-N-D-A-I.
Yeah.
At Shandae, everything except for TikTok, because some hater got my handle before I got it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So on TikTok, I'm Shandae P for person, not for anything weird.
You should contact them and get that, I think. Do they post or?
No, it's just a waste of life. Like, I swear,
I think they would give it to you. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. If they're not using it, they will, I think. Yeah.
Okay. I'll reach out because they're really not doing
it. If you're
anything.
That everywhere, then of course it's you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just annoying. Like, why would you? That's my name. But so look for me Twitter, YouTube at Shandae, and TikTok for now, Shandae V.
Alright. Cool. Thanks everyone for listening. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave some ratings and reviews. We'll catch you next time. Blah, 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 blah.
If you want to be on, contact her.
Yeah. That's our manager.
Manager.
Alright. Get this off my